as they follow Ronald. Oh, it feels wrong calling him Ronald. That feels like Tammy one. Oh, my bad. Taking that back. Woo!
Achievement unlocked. Final boss.
If she's the final boss, that's terrifying.
I know. You're going to want to do all the side quests. You're going to want to have your armor maxed out.
Wow. I feel scared.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today, we are diving into Season 2.
Back it up. Try again. Take two.
Okay. I can tell you exactly why that happened. You want to know exactly why that happened?
Why did that happen?
Because I was trying so hard not to say good morning, everyone, like I did last time.
Oh.
And I was so focused on that, and I was just thinking, yes, I got it. I did it. I didn't mess up the intro. And then, I got
cocky.
Well,
it could be like some of the shows I've worked that I've had to do voiceovers for, where it's like, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We're so glad you're here.
Blanket
today,
statement.
We're covering Season 6, Episode 2, London, Part 2.
Yes.
Okay.
Season 6, Episode 2, London, Part 2. There's a lot of twos in there, which might also be why I got flustered.
Too many twos for you to have to focus toward.
Too many. Oh my goodness.
Okay. I am very excited about the plot synopsis today. I was sitting downstairs trying to think of it just feels right because the episode ends with a Scottish poem. So I'm like, but how does one write in Scott? I have no clue. So I realized, why not adapt? So this is a poem called Scots Wahai, and I'm probably blatantly, horribly mispronouncing that, by Robert Burns. And it has been adapted by me for our purposes to be read by you. And did I definitely think through all of the ways that this will be very hard for you? Yes. Yes, I did. Am I very excited about those? Yes. Yes, I am. So please. Please.
All right, here we go. I gotta.
You gotta get your accent on, man.
I know. I should have just pounded a glass of whiskey before this to get in character, but here we go. Scots were hay with Leslie Bled. Scots wem rod has aften led. Welcome to your British bed or to yon recall. Now's the day, and yesterday's the hour. See the front of great Grant's lower.
Yeah, that.
See approach proud fancy face power.
Mm.
But not the barrister's wig.
Nope.
What will be a Saperstein flave? What can feel a John Ralphio's grave? What say daddy as be a slave?
I'm so proud of this.
Daddy. Let him turn and money.
How you doing there, buddy? How you doing? You doing okay?
Let him turn and money, yon knave. Way for pawns.
You couldn't say money, please, because it doesn't rhyme.
More's the pity. Way for ponies, slug, and law. April's pen will strongly draw. Ponian stand or ponian fa. Let them peepy heads maw. By oppression's chance and pains, by the marijuana's illegal chains.
I'm so proud of that one.
We will eat edible statues of Danes and be tax-free. Lay the proud writer Satan low. Doubts fall in every foe. Cloaked love in every blow. You're getting hugged right now.
How'd I do?
You did fantastic. And I am certain that Robert Burns is just doing somersaults in his grave right now.
If you are a patron and you can see the show notes, everything that's in bold in that poem is a word that I changed.
Pretty sure he never intended for marijuana and edible marijuana statues to be in his poems.
I spelled out marijuana because I wanted you to say it a certain way.
Yes, that was fantastic.
All right, it's time for episode behind the scenes and trivia.
Did you just do a fancy thing?
I don't know what you're talking about. Can you do the first one?
Yes. So today, I am very proud of myself. I actually noticed this before finding it in research or anything. I thought that Kongordzal, the delegate from Mongolia, looked a little familiar. That is because... She is played by the actress Kaliko Kawahi, who I hope I pronounced that right, who would go on to play Sandra in Superstore.
And you really like that show, right?
Yes. Yeah, that show is fantastic. And there's two Parks and Rec actors in it.
Who else?
The guy who plays Brett has a much more significant role as Garrett in Superstore.
Is he trying to legalize weed as well?
No. Maybe because it's already been legalized. I don't know. But they didn't carry that thread of his character over.
That would be a factor. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, IMDb had some stuff to say. While Andy talks with April about how things in London are different than they are in the U.S., he mentions Piccadilly Circus and how he saw a bearded lady who got all rude when I marveled at her. This is possibly a reference to the Jethro Tull song, Mother Goose. I don't know this song. Do you know this song? I just copied and pasted. Let's be real.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I'm familiar with the concept of Mother Goose. I can't remember.
But that's a poem.
A song. Yeah, I don't know it.
And the lyrics include, and the foreign student said to me, is it really true there are elephants, lions too in Piccadilly Circus? And the bearded lady said to me, if you start your raving and your misbehaving, you'll be sorry. Shots fired, I guess. Ooh. Are you looking up the song right now? Please tell me you're looking up the song right now.
No, I was actually looking up a comment on our Instagram from Chloe Marquez, who said that this line by Andy is also potentially a reference to Chris Pratt's Guardians of the Galaxy role, which he was in London to film, because he specifically says marveled at her.
Okay.
So I could definitely see that being a thing. So good catch,
Chloe. I see you. All right, Chloe, points awarded. The manner of Ron's trip to the Lagavulin distillery whilst... Thank you for using whilst, whoever wrote this. Certainly possible. Is far more elaborate than necessary. Well, of course it is. Leslie planned it. Do y'all not know who planned this? He is first seen looking at the information boards in Glasgow Central train station before taking the train and then a small boat to the Isle of Islay, I-S-L-A-Y, which the horrible pronunciation is Islay, which is where Lagavulin is. In truth, they really like the word whilst. Wow. In truth, whilst it is likely that he would have traveled to Glasgow Central by train from London, the most common way to then get to Islay would be to take a coach with horses. I would really hope there would be horses with that coach from Glasgow's Buchanan bus station to the port of Kennacraig. I am so sorry for everybody that I did not look up any of these pronunciations, where he would then take a large ferry from either Port Askeg or Port Ellen on Islay. During the summer months, he could instead have taken a second train. Okay, somebody look this up. which I have so much respect for because I was thinking about it and then I was like, not too much time. And then I found this and I was like, haha, yeah. During the summer months, he could have instead taken a second train from Glasgow to Oban and taken a ferry from there to LA via the Isle of Colonsay, which feels like it's Pig Latin. Isle of Colonsay, yep. Mm-hmm. Although that route, whilst picturesque, takes much longer. Of course, the quicker method would have been, like, why is this person thinking through all of these methods? I just can't. The quicker method would have been to take one of the small daily flights from Glasgow to LA, although this is naturally a lot more expensive. Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seems to me like it's one of those things where, say, if for some reason, you know, Ron's trip had been to visit the sugar factory in Scott's Bluff.
There's a sugar factory in Scott's Bluff?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay, Nebraska.
Yeah. It's not nearly as fun as it sounds. It's nothing like a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory kind of experience. So I would think that as someone who lives here, if the show filmed him going to all these places that made no sense if he was coming to the sugar factory here, then I'd be like, that, why wouldn't you just, you know, drive to Kimball on I-80 and come straight up? So being that I've never...
These are great questions.
Being that I've never been to England or Scotland, I just kind of see that and assume like, oh yeah, that's the way you go up there. But maybe to someone who lives there, the differences in the route he took are just nonsensical and hard to ignore.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I really want Leslie's route to be the perfect one, though.
I mean, it kind of is now.
Well, obviously.
You could just take that.
Leslie's brilliant.
It'd be the Parks and Rec tour to the Lagavulin distillery.
Yeah, maybe someday if we get to be an actual big deal, we could do a guided tour with Nick Offerman to the Lagavulin distillery. Although I don't really like whiskey, but I would do it.
I accept, so long as we get to have a grand sweeping shot of the two of us walking over a verdant hilltop with walking sticks and an entire flock
of
sheep.
No, I want a ukulele. Behind.
Yeah, there you go. I'll have a stick, you can have a ukulele, and the sheep will just be flocking behind us.
And Lady Carlsbad and your three pack would be like herding all the sheep. That would be perfect. Yeah, we can
do
that.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely want that to happen.
Okay, who's going to plan all the logistics and pay for it?
I don't know.
Cough, cough. Not asking, but I'm asking. Anne mentions to Chris that Olive would be a good name for a girl. It's later shown that she and Chris name their first child Oliver.
That's a cool little through line.
I don't remember any of that, but the internet does. So here we are. And now it's time for the dives. Up top, we're going to talk about Symmetrical Danes and Silkeborg. And in the booths, I just had a bunch of very small questions that were very fun to Google. So all of those are in the booths. Okay, Danes. Are their faces really known for being symmetrical, or is it just Heidi Klum? These are the things I need to know. There are a lot of really, really creepy pictures out there of photoshopped symmetrical faces.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome, and trigger warning. So Science News for Students posted an article that talked about the symmetry of faces. They said everyone's face is slightly asymmetrical, but in different ways. In the end, many of these faces do seem symmetrical. So in some ways, symmetry seems normal to us. But are we born with a preference for certain kinds of faces? Is it just something that people learn without realizing it? So psychologist Judith Langlois and her team at the University of Texas in Austin worked with young children and babies to test this. This is insane to me.
I was going to say, in the show notes, it does not say to test this. I would love it if that's just an unrelated blurb that doesn't have to do with this particular project.
Like, what do you mean?
So-and-so and her team work with young children and babies. So we brought them in to do this.
oops, copied and pasted that from the wrong article. I'm also kind of rewriting the article as I'm reading it out loud. So, you know, that's what I do, improv. Some of their young recruits were just 2 to 3 months old. The researchers showed each baby photos of two faces. Party foul, I'm yawning. I'm so sorry. One face was more attractive than the other. The scientists then recorded how long the infants looked at each face. This is crazy. Babies spent longer viewing the attractive faces than the unattractive ones. That meant they preferred the pretty faces, says psychologist Stevie Shine. She works with Langlois. I love all of these names. These findings suggest that people prefer pretty face. People prefer pretty faces. There we go. Faces early in life. However, it's still possible that we learn that preference. After all, by the time we test infants, they've already had experience with faces. It's just, wow. It's there. It goes so deep. It goes so deep. So a lot of it was about not necessarily symmetry, but what we refer to as pretty or as balanced. So one of the closing comments was, knowing that the bias exists, the bias toward people who we perceive to be prettier than ugly, knowing that the bias exists, acknowledging that we carry all of it. Acknowledging that we all carry it with us and taking steps to consciously decrease your own bias are important. That can keep us from discriminating against people who are unattractive or simply uneven.
Wow. I have two thoughts.
Tell me, please.
Number one, I love that you're still doing your own sound effects like Crazy Ira yep. and the douche mm-hmm. to yourself immediately.
Oh, no. Now that you say it like that, it's so much worse.
Number two, did you know that Tom Cruise has a tooth in the middle of his face?
Excuse me, what?
Uh-huh. Google image search.
I feel like you're about to like lead me into something that's like when you winked at me.
You'll never view Tom Cruise the same way again.
Center of face searching. What?
Uh-huh.
What? Oh, yeah. Wow. The sun. The British Sun came up with an article. Tom Cruise's weird middle tooth, Harry Styles' third nipple, and 8 other celebrities with ... Sensationalist media, everybody.
Yeah, but as far as symmetry goes, he actually has like an asymmetrical smile. So he has a tooth right in the middle of his face line.
Not going to lie, I was thinking tooth in the middle of his face, like maybe there was a tooth embedded in the cartilage of his like nose.
A tiny unicorn horn or something.
Yeah. That's his superpower.
Tom Cruise is secretly a unicorn. That's what we've
uncovered
today.
Where are the facts to deny it?
I mean, have you ever seen Tom Cruise and a unicorn in a room at the same time?
Only if there are large Pomeranians.
I don't think so. Boom.
It's fine. Everything's fine. Boom. That's it. I dare you to prove me wrong.
We got you, Tom Cruise. You secret unicorn, you.
We're going to contract the raccoon gang to track you down and learn the truth.
We're going to capture your unicorn magic.
Oh, wow. This is going dark. Okay. There's a website called joe.ie, which was a very confusing URL to me.
Yeah, that's my website where I rate people's...
Fine, you can read this next section then. Go. I'm going to drink my coffee.
Joe.ie had the following list for most symmetrical famous faces based on the phi ratio, golden ratio, Fibonacci sequence.
Please tell me you guys know. Do you know what the Fibonacci sequence is?
I'm familiar.
Okay, I had to write a whole paper about it in college and it just made me so happy. So it is the mathematical breakdown of a perfect spiral. So like if you look at the cross section of a like a snail shell, it's got that perfect spiral in it. So the formula to it is it's the number plus the one behind it equals the next number. So 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 2 = 3. 2 + 3 = 5. And so on, because I just lost it in my head.
You got further than I would have.
Thank you. It's morning too. Joe and Joy in the morning. I like how I half try and you're just like, screw it. It's cool. We're fine. Everything's fine. So anyway, a lot of things that we find to be beautiful in the world have the golden ratio. Like if you look at the at a head of broccolini, the way that everything is arranged in that perfect spiral on top of the broccolini is all Fibonacci sequence. So if you want your mind blown and you want to play with some math, check out the Fibonacci sequence. You're welcome. Okay, you can keep reading now.
Well, now I have to look up head of broccolini.
Fine, I will read now. So the most symmetrical male faces, George Clooney is 91.86. Bradley Cooper is 91.8. Oh man, that 0.6 really got him. Brad Pitt is 90.51, then Harry Styles, then David Beckham, then Will Smith, then all of these people that I don't really know much about.
Oh, did you find it? That is pleasing.
It really is.
It feels strangely, a lot of things. It feels strangely satisfied right now.
I know. Just do yourself a favor and look up the Fibonacci sequence. I have a math nerd friend who has Fibonacci sequence earrings, and it just makes me happy. That is all. Some of the most symmetrical female faces: Amber Heard, Kim Kardashian, Kate Moss, Emily. Do you know how to say that last name?
I do, but I'd kind of like to hear you try.
Nope, don't let me fall on this sword, Joe.
It's Radishkowski.
That. It's just, I just want you guys to know I love the Fibonacci sequence. I don't really care about who has the most symmetrical faces, but the conclusion of this dive is I love the Fibonacci sequence. The end. Do you have any more comments before we move on?
I was not expecting to be I can't find the word. I just Math? Wasn't expecting to find like such a soothing picture of a vegetable this morning. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Heather, you can feel free to post Fibonacci sequence photos if you want. And bonus points to anybody who figures out how to integrate Fibonacci sequence photos and Parks and Rec memes.
Ooh.
Ooh, challenge thrown down. Who's going to accept? All right, let's talk about Silkeborg. I was like, nah, y'all, this ain't gonna be real. No, it's real. Silkeborg is a thing. I can't.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at this now, and you have bitten
this
off.
This is going to be a lot.
There are so many Danish names.
To anybody who is listening, who is of Danish descent or speaks regional languages of that sort, I am so sorry. This is about to be very painful for you. I'm going to do the best I can, and it is going to miserably fail. That is all. Okay, Silkeborg is a Danish town with a population of 48,369 as of January 1st, 2021. Silkeborg is the seat of the Silkeborg City Council with 92,024 inhabitants as of 2018. Silkeborg is located in the middle of the Jutlandic Peninsula, slightly west of the geographical center, with British spelling of center, C-E-N-T-R-E, of Denmark. The city is situated on the river that starts with a G. You're already laughing at me. This is not nice.
No,
and now you're covering your face? Yeah, that's like, no, uh-uh, nope. I'm just going to put my coffee cup where you are in my face. In the hilly and lush landscape of... what did I do this to myself? I didn't pre-read this. Oh, now you're just holding your coffee cup on your face. I see it. I see you. I don't even know how to start. I feel very overwhelmed all of a sudden.
Can I tell you what I would do in this situation?
Yeah.
I wouldn't try at all, and I'd just go completely the opposite direction, like hillbilly or something.
Oh, I just heard that in my head as read it backwards, which would be
so much easier. Read all this, including the Danish names backwards.
Tednal Johos. There we go. Tednal Johos, surrounded by Denmark's largest forest district and a great number of lakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Silkeborg is also known as Denmark's outdoor capital. The lakes between Silkeborg and Ree that are linked by that river are known collectively as Silkeborg Zone or the Silkeborg Lakes. The city is divided along an east-west axis by the Lake of Silkeborg Longzo, which at the eastern side of the city flows into that river that we talked about earlier. Silkeborg was the site of a castle, a monastery, and a farming estate established in the 15th century, some 6 kilometers from an abbey that I've never heard of. The modern town grew around a paper mill that was in the area that was established in 1844. It was located near that river where the castle, I feel like I'm turning into like Andy telling a story. And then there was a river over there, and then there was a castle. And they exploited the river as a source of energy for the mill, as a resource for paper production, and as a means of transport. So good for them. Some fun things that you can check out when you visit Silkeborg and or when we go as part of our European, I would say world tour, but I don't feel like Ron would accept that. let's see. During the German occupation of Denmark, the Gestapo turned the Silkeborg Baths into its Danish headquarters. The remnants of German bunkers can still be seen today, and one of those bunkers is a public museum, which is fantastic and terrifying. The city square, the old city square, is the center of Silkeborg and is, together with the surrounding streets, a pedestrian area. I love it when downtowns are pedestrian areas, and I'm also so glad I don't have to do any of the logistics deliveries for businesses that require inventory. The city square is surrounded by the Hotel Danya, which is the oldest hotel founded in 1848, the old town hall, and the city church. There are 2 fountains on the city square and the bronze statue of Michael Drusden, the founder of Silkeborg. There's a weekly market on Saturdays. Okay, we should make sure we go on a Saturday.
I was going to say, you say that all excited, like on some Saturday, you know, next month, we can just pop over to Silkeborg.
Surpresa! Hello, Silkeborg, here we are.
I know we have so many fans over there. Well, probably less now after this section, but hey.
Joe and Joy in Silkeborg. I'll just walk around with my ukulele. It's normal. Everybody will know us there. We're obviously famous. They're going to make us cheese statues. The world's oldest steamboat, Hjellin, is one of the tour boats that can take off from Silkeborg Harbor. Fun fact.
I don't know how you feel about that. Personally, I think the idea of the world's oldest steamboat is cool. Do I want to go out on it?
No.
Maybe not. Like, do you have a new steamboat with state-of-the-art flotation technology?
Correct.
Let's take that one.
Yes. I would walk aboard it, but I would not like to ride it. Mm-hmm. Mm. Let's see. There's so many things in here. Silkeborg just looks fantastic. Like, I want to go to the lakes. I love mountain lakes. And in Europe, they're even better. Okay, cool. So we're just going to move on. There's a bunch of stuff in here from Wikipedia. So go ahead and look up Silkeborg. You will not be disappointed. So now we're going to turn to our likes and dislikes, where we talk about what we liked about the episode and what we did not like so much. Joe, please use your words so I can drink some coffee.
I like Ron being personally conflicted over telling Leslie not to leave Europe.
That was very funny. I so appreciated that.
I, of course, love April's instant infatuation with Kingordzal.
It's both surprising and makes so much sense.
Yes. And this I had some fun with. I've never noticed this before. We don't see much of Olga. But parsing together what little we do see and hear about her, I'm assuming that her sole job is to be Yuli's cheese statue maker.
Oh, this is her assistant that was sitting to her right, our left.
That she says, Olga, let's start a statue of Leslie. And that half second blip of her smiling face, I paused it. She looks right at the camera. She breaks the fourth wall.
Oh,
when
man.
When Yuli says that. That was enough to convince me of three things.
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
Number one, the people of Silkeborg did not, in fact, make that statue for Yuli. She made Olga make it.
Oh, man.
Number two, Yuli has abused the power dynamic of this situation by commissioning cheese statues at random and at an irresponsible rate. Silkeborg's economy is in danger of collapsing because there's a goat cheese shortage.
Oh my gosh.
Olga has worked her fingers to the bone and developed extreme lactose intolerance due to having to make so many cheese statues.
I have so much empathy for Olga.
She has no work-life balance. She is haunted by being awoken in the wee hours of the night to make cheese statues at the whim of a boss who has danced gleefully on her very last nerve for too long. And three, this frivolous and unexpected demand for a statue of Leslie is the last straw. Silkeborg is no longer a safe or happy place. Olga
no
is going
more.
To snap and paint the snow red.
Oh! Oh! Olga!
Yeah, you go back and pause on Olga's face looking at the camera and tell me that's not true.
Okay.
I never really noticed her before, but I just happened to see it. And when I paused, she is looking right at the camera and there's a little maniacal flavor to her smile.
It's one of those like micro expressions.
Uh-huh. It's it's all in the eyes. She's got crazy eyes.
Wow. Can we talk about how you just wrote a whole story about that? And that just makes me so happy.
Thank you.
Please feel free to do that anytime.
And then Donna's, yes, I am. Literally made me grin from ear to ear.
Yes, it did.
I like Leslie forgetting who Jerry is.
Was that intentional, though?
I don't think it was.
Like, he's just so out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, I think that's exactly what it was, that she kind of had to restart that part of her brain.
Wait, Jerry who? Jerry.
I like Jerry trying to be nice and ask, so how's London, as Leslie hangs up on him.
Classic Jerry, though. Like, he's like, here's my information, okay, now that I got that off, like,
I
how
know.
You doing?
Oh my goodness, I love that. I love Ron's beautiful talk with Leslie.
Yes.
One of his best to date, in my opinion, made better by the fact that he's sitting in Europe while he does it. I love that detail. I like his quote, you choose a thankless job, you can't be upset when nobody thanks you. I like him pointing out that April thanked Leslie and respects her.
Yeah.
And then his quote, don't start chasing applause and acclaim. That way lies madness.
I really, really like this through line that they have given Ron in the show of, like, even though he's against everything that the government is, he is still, like, the wise sage. Mm. And he's still the grounding factor. And, come on, Ron.
Love it. I love Ron not realizing London has pubs everywhere and then stating they'll be visiting both butcher shops on the way to the pub.
Obviously.
I like when Chris says, I am very sad. Please stop talking to Jerry.
So many thoughts about that. You can move on.
I know you're not excited for that scene and it is gross, but I just love that one little line where he's like, I am very sad, please stop talking. I like Andy being disappointed that the Piccadilly Circus is not in fact a circus.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't be disappointed about that?
I love the gorgeous tableau that is the mediation with the Sappersteins.
Please define tableau. I understand context. I don't actually know definition.
You know, I don't know that I know the actual definition in my head. Tableau is just kind of like this beautiful, rich display of multiple things.
It's a software company that does data visualization. It's a graphic description or representation, a picture.
Okay.
Thank you, Merriam-Webster.
So I just, there's so many things about that scene I just love so much.
It's so perfect in so many ways.
I can't help but wonder sometimes in those scenes if they don't just tell Ben Schwartz, you've got 30 seconds, go.
There are so many moments that I wish, like, I wish there was more behind the scenes stuff out there to be found, because I feel like these moments, to your point, are like comedy gems.
Yes.
But like, who gets to see those outtakes?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to, like, the part of me that gets pissed off at information hoarding, this is one of those where I'm like, why would you withhold that from the world? Because this is hilarious. Like, I want to see, what is it like for them to get in character?
Yes.
What was it like for them? Like, how much structure did they have walking in? Was there a script, or was it, here are the main points, do something with that?
Yes, absolutely. And that is one little thing I think that The Office has an advantage over Parks and Rec with, is with The Office, there is so much of that anecdotal footage that just keeps popping up all the time. I mean, yesterday I saw a TikTok with a clip from The Office I had never seen before. And I'm a huge Office fan, and that show has been out forever. It just seemed like they had cameras rolling of their cameras rolling all the time.
That's very meta.
And they have not been stingy with it, especially
Well, let's
now.
Be real. It's a marketing brilliant move.
Yes, it is. So
I should have flipped those words. It's a brilliant marketing move.
Marketing brilliant. That makes it more like an achievement trophy. Like, you just got, like, in Stardew Valley or something. Like,
you have the marketing brilliant achievement unlocked.
Exactly. So I'm right there with you. I wish we could see more of that behind the scenes stuff.
Hey, people that have power, if you're listening to this, post more things.
Yes.
Love, Joe, and Joy. And yes, everybody else.
100%.
Period.
I, of course, love Money, Please.
How would you not love that? It's finally here. We only waited six.
I know.
Series. Nope. Seasons. Six seasons is.
Achievement unlocked. Marketing brilliant.
That's gonna follow me now. Dang it.
I like that Andy went to Stonehenge.
this isn't
right.
This is not familiar. This is not familiar at all.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I like Leslie not even getting one sentence into April's reading of the letter before just breaking down in tears. That's perfection.
And April's like, what?
I know.
Stop.
And then Ron's incredible face upon realizing that Leslie has sent him to the Lagavulin distillery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you just screen cap that and put it in the dictionary under the definition of the word rapture.
My head goes to the Left Behind series Rapture, so I like a picture of Ron's face better.
Cool.
I will experience that rapture. Mm-hmm. I have been raptured.
And then I love Ron being brought to tears by reading the poem on the cliffside, which is weirdly such a potent combination of footage, poetry, and voice that it kind of brings me to tears every time I watch that scene.
Yeah, I definitely felt verklempt.
So it's definitely a bit of a meta moment. And then immediately he says, I don't know what she thought I'd get out of that.
Well.
And then my last like is Ben in the barrister's wig.
So funny.
And I think it's funny because Leslie immediately, it's not working for her. And it kind of seems like Ben doesn't want to take it off.
It's like, oh, I finally, achievement unlocked, yeah. Barrister's wig. Well.
So that's it for my likes. What did you like about this episode?
Freaking love everything, Congorzal. Like, what a comedic, brilliant character to just throw in there. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's a international coalition of female leaders, and the writers are sitting around the table being like, oh, well, what kind of characters should we have? And somebody's like, oh, well, let's have a Wolverine wrangler who was a police chief and now the mayor of some place in Mongolia. They never say where. So I'm just going to assume that she is the mayor of all of Mongolia.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Right. And of course, April is like such a cat. She has deep, deep love and obsessive of affection for mm-hmm. the things and people that do not give a crap about her.
Yes. That's a fantastic description.
That dynamic just makes me so happy.
Yes.
That April is like outwardly just leaning all over.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that Donna knows. You're drinking a decaf coffee, which you usually only do in the afternoon. You're wearing an Empire waist dress and loose shoes because your feet are already swelling. I put you at 9, maybe 10 weeks. Chris, my goodness, you're observant. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Mm.
Okay, Donna. Okay. How does this play into our theory that she's in witness protection?
I don't know.
Her observation skills are that strong.
That's probably just what got her into the criminal underworld in the first place.
Hashtag skills. Wow. Donna is miraculous.
Yes, I am. Wow. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I like that Ron calls Leslie out and he calls her up. Not just calling her out, but he calls her up. Like, you gotta be the adult here.
Mm.
You gotta be the grown up. And that's just such a good life metaphor in general. Like, you can't just yell, I hate you back. Mm. Somebody's got to be the adult. And then his brilliant, sifting down of like, let's get to the bottom of this. You chose a thankless job. So let's reset your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You chose this. It is happening as it is expected. Ta-da. I love the whole process of the gift that Leslie got Ron.
Mm.
It's just, it goes back to how much she knows and loves her people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ron definitely does not ever want a scavenger hunt with multiple clues yes. of increasing difficulty and scope. Like, this is beautiful. And there's also something in there that's so fantastic about how much he trusts her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't know where he's going, and Ron it feels like he's usually a very decisive human of I am here, I will be there, and ta-da. But his curiosity is piqued, and so that scene where he's in the train and he's just like, where are you taking me? Nope. I'm like, that's trust.
Yes,
that's also friendship, and that's also like, he's allowing her to care for him in this way, which I approve of. Lord Fancy Face. That is all that bullet says. Lord Fancy Face. Mm-hmm. I love the whole concept of Andy not knowing how to set up a nonprofit because he shined shoes for over 2 years and never made a profit. So that's how that works. I love how much April believes in Andy, and then her obvious next step of having to build a scarecrow replica of Andy and take it to the movies. Of course you would.
Yes.
The whole scene of the Saperstein's and the lawyers, like, it's interesting to me to observe how the Saperstein kids showed up because they were there, but they weren't fully there. But like, I mean, I didn't really care about what was happening. And then John Ralphie being like, Daddy D, Daddy, come on. I lie to you all the time. And then it's just like, why would you keep going with that? Yeah. I guess the ball's already rolling, but now's the time you want to say on the record that you didn't go to those math camps and you bought your own trophies? Okay. Okay. I adore the line where Ethel's like, I barely know you and I don't have to talk to you unless it's about work. And then yes. She just pushes through them and storms off. Ethel, I love her.
Leave Ethel alone.
She's not your grandma.
Yeah.
She's April's. I love that the satisfaction of Leslie actually being able to give Chris and Anne the reaction they had hoped for.
Mm.
Like, they built up to that moment and in a way that's fantastic. And then just the comedic, like, oh, don't get too sentimental because, oh my gosh, is Anne a crab? Stay away from me, crab. Just kidding. I know it's Anne. As she like stares awkwardly, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Gretel is so funny. Mm-hmm. She just can't be pleased. Like, I didn't want all the slugs gone. I wanted most of the slugs gone. And then she just storms into her front gate. Anne's gentle reminder of our baby is not a salad. Mm-hmm. I love April's letter. Like, how soft April can actually be, but also how she chooses to show up with that. And then she balances it for her own tolerance of sincerely Satan. It's like, okay. And then the Aubrey Plaza genuine smile as Leslie is chasing her out of the office.
Mm-hmm.
That gets me every time because that's not acting. That's genuine. Unless Aubrey Plaza is like, excuse me, Joy, that was acting. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, hi, Aubrey Plaza. You called me. Stop. How'd you get my number? The whole Ron's experience, the whole poem, and then Ron coming over the ridge with all the sheeps, and then the crying, not crying poem, and then I don't know what she thought I would get out of that. It was so good. And then Leslie and the barrister's wig, and it's failed. No, take it off. Take it off. No. And we're not surprised. Y'all probably... You're probably surprised I didn't do this sooner. And all of the templates that I made for all of the episodes for this season, I finally just put in a section for my mid-likes. I'm coming to terms with there are always going to be things I'm conflicted on. So it is now a official category.
Full and so disclosure, here are my mid-likes. I did not know it was not an official category in the show notes.
It's fine. Everything's
fine. I pay attention.
Yeah. Words and stuff. Mid-likes. Leslie's over-planning in order to get back 2 hours earlier. Like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, you thought that through and that's hilarious and great, but also I know what that feels like and that's exhausting and just stop. Just sit your butt down. Like, just stop.
And it kind of seemed almost like a little nod to Home Alone where Kevin's mother does all that work and goes from airport to airport to airport to get there, I don't know, 15 minutes ahead of the rest of the family who flew back at the normal time.
Just sounds exhausting. I have other things to spend my energy on. Not that, thank you. And then the whole concept of walking by Colin Firth's house. What are you going to get out of that experience? Like, I just put myself in that and I'm like, and there are windows and there is an outside wall. And look, there's a door. Mm-hmm. Like, what? I don't understand that. But I also don't understand celebrity culture. And we already know this to be true. It is attention to manage. And here we are. Heidi Klum, friggin' hilarious. That whole character, I love it. And also, I loathe her. Like, it's just so over-the-top buttery. Mm-hmm. It's like the European version of Bless Your Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then how she's like, so what about your town? Really? Really? And then I love the yes and of the writers being like, oh yeah, in Pawnee they filled a pinata of my face with broccoli. Of course they did. But like, also that's really sad. So I just have so many feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. What did you dislike?
Just two things.
Just two.
Number one, the goat cheese statue of Yuli is terrifying.
True. Can you imagine what it would be like if it molded?
Now I am.
Nah. You're welcome.
And I did not even realize this until right now in this moment. Both my dislikes are dairy related.
Hey!
Because my second dislike is that I don't think I'm ever going to drink milk again. Why, Jerry? Why?
He ruined it.
He did.
He ruined
it. It's over now, everyone. Milk is... milk is done, folks. We had a good run with all those, you know, commercials in the 90s. Don't know what we're going to have brownies with now, but milk is over, everyone.
Well, goodbye.
So what did you dislike about this episode?
Yuli's speech. It just, no thanks. No thanks. And someone once trained a reindeer to dance for her, and then her next line is, the reindeer was delicious. So you put all of that training expense into training a reindeer only to slay it and eat it. Really?
It does seem
Pick another reindeer.
Like a Ron Swanson move.
Don't pick the overachieving reindeer. Can't. There's no, I'm not going to go down the metaphor line of that. There's just too many implications now. I'm going to stop. I don't like when Leslie goes off script, it's scary, for good reasons. And I don't like that she just went off and was like, they're a bunch of pee-pee heads. Like, first of all, know your audience in the room.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's the production person in me that's like, so if it was a webcast, that means there were cameras in the room, which means there's a production crew, which means, like, shouldn't you be aware? Question mark? It's kind of hard to ignore cameras, says the hypersensitive human who runs the cameras. Anyway, Jerry's obsession with milk. I literally cannot. Cannot.
No.
My insides were like, no. So we're going to turn the corner real quick. My last dislike is giving multiple corgis as a gift.
Yeah,
first of all,
that's cute, but overwhelming.
If you're going to get a dog, you need to know what is about to happen with that dog. I bought a dog once, guys, and I panicked and gave it away. So if somebody was just like, hey, Joy, love you so much. Here's like 5 corgis. I'd be like, excuse me, what? Can we talk about this? Who's going to take care of these corgis? Who is going to pay the vet bills? Who's going to watch them? This should be your responsibility because you bought me the corgis. It's not fair. So I have issues with that. And now it's time for the coronation of the beautiful rule-breaking moth, the segment in which we choose one specific thing that was the breakout star of the episode, Joe.
Mine is the beautiful, epic, heartfelt journey that Leslie sent Ron on. It is perfection and gift-giving. It is magical to watch. In an episode that shows us some of Leslie at her lowest, this is Leslie at her absolute best. This is the surprise birthday dinner for Ron or the scavenger hunt times 100. And the montage of Ron in Scotland doing Scotland things is maybe my favorite montage in all of the show.
Yep.
Couldn't be anything but that. What about you?
I agree with you on that one. The sheep's got me. Like, I saw him walking over the ridge and I was like, oh, that is a beautiful shot. And then I'm like, there are sheep. What is happening right now? Oh, my gosh. And then just like, always be plugging, you know, my other podcast is basically just celebrating people's nerd. So then getting to watch the experience of Ron fully nerding out at the distillery made me so happy. And also knowing that that's something that Nick Offerman enjoys, that just adds a whole nother level of enjoyment and beauty and nerd to it that I love it.
Achievement unlocked. Distilling.
Ding. Brilliant marketing. All right, now it's time.
For the
shaming of the Jerry. Part of the show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying. Joe.
So maybe somewhat spicy take here.
I'm here for a spicy take.
Leslie absolutely needed to be recalled.
Okay.
And I surprised myself a little bit with this one because I remember in earlier watch throughs of the show being really bummed out that, you know, we just rode this roller coaster of Leslie's campaign and it seems like she barely got into office and already she's facing the prospect of getting recalled. And we know where the show's going. She gets recalled. And
spoiler alert, sorry. Or not.
And I remember being more sad about that before, but this watch through in particular, it didn't hit me the same way.
Interesting.
Looking at it now, she absolutely, I think, needed to be recalled for the sake of her character. I can totally sympathize with what she's had to deal with, you know, the stupid, grumpy people, the thanklessness of her job. But it's just painfully obvious in this episode that she's lost all perspective and that she has a completely unhealthy relationship with her job.
Interesting.
It seems obvious that it's taking away from her relationship with Ben, that she can't be present in the moment when something goes wrong in Pawnee. Her immediate instinct is just to leave her friends in Europe,
right.
And just, you know, sprint back to Pawnee. And her acceptance speech doesn't hit me as funny when she goes off script. Yeah. It just feels awkward and sad.
Yeah.
And I think that in real life, she really would need help from a counselor to process the stress and resentment that she's dealing with.
Yep.
It's obviously taking a toll on her own mental health, and it makes it harder for her to actually serve the public.
Yeah.
And I think that there's room for discussion as to whether some of her political beliefs and what she believes the role of government is might be leading to her unhealthy relationship with the job and the people. But simply making that observation is probably as far down that rabbit hole as I'll go. It's tough to see the Leslie we rooted for through her campaign saga be brought low like this.
Yeah.
But I think her being recalled makes total sense.
Yeah.
We know that she's going to go on to bigger and better things. And I think that this was an important sort of reset for her character. She needs more perspective. I think she needs to be able to balance things a little more. And, you know, I think she needs to be equipped to handle bigger things, you know, and bigger and better things comes with bigger and better disappointments and bigger struggles, you know, bigger responsibilities. And right. So if she completely melts down and loses all perspective over Pawnee level stuff,
right,
that kind of shows us she's not ready for national parks or governor level stuff.
Or even, shall we say, president level.
And, you know, I work a job where there is sort of a fine line between, you know, it can be tough. It can be thankless. People can be downright cruel sometimes, not necessarily meaning to be, but it's a reality. But at the same time, if you lose your perspective and develop resentment towards the people that you are supposed to be serving, it's time for you to go. Like, it's time for you to step back.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I think that's what I saw. That's the lens that I saw this through, is that ultimately this is just unhealthy for Leslie at this point because she can't, you know, have that perspective with the people that she got into this thing to serve.
Yeah. That is very astute, and I'm really glad you said that. There's so many different, like, mental health dives I want to go down off of that, but I think you said it very well, and a lot of it just comes down to what's your locus of control, what is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting and life draining to yeah. expect yourself to be able to, or even have to, care for everyone's well-being when yes. their choices are not in your control.
Yeah. And I mean, I have worked for 10 years in pastoral ministry. My wife is a full-time professional counselor. You know, both of those careers, one of the most important things is learning how to leave work at work.
Yeah, that's really hard.
Learning how to be able to step away and actually step away is the secret to longevity, I think, in anything where you serve other people, and it's difficult. So,
yeah, and I'm guessing that like that's the healthiest route for mm-hmm. sure. But it's easy to equate stress level with importance
mm-hmm.
of yeah. like, well, I'm making a difference if I'm actually thinking about yes. this all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not great either.
Yeah, you're 100% correct.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So that's my Jerry. Who or what is your Jerry? Oh, no.
Jerry.
Oh, no.
Actually, Jerry.
Yeah.
I literally cannot handle his obsession with Anne's pregnancy. It is so gross. It just makes me want to curl up in a ball in the corner and start rocking and crying.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll be fine. I'll be fine. Everything's fine. If we move on. Joe.
We're moving on. It's time for the awarding of the Lil Sebastians, the ceremony in which we do that thing that we do that you guys know. So,
yay.
Joy, how many Lil? I'm just trying to get away from Jerry as fast
1, 2, 3,
as possible.
4, 5. I gave it 5. A 5.
What?
What about you?
I also rated this episode a 5.
What? Oh, my gosh. What?
Which means that this episode has unlocked the Parks and Rewatch Hall of Fame achievement.
Ooh! Ooh.
Fantastic yep. episode. Fantastic.
Yep, for sure. And we found John Ralphio. We know
him.
Where he's at. I don't need to find him again.
What do you want to karate chop this week?
Just feeling like there isn't enough time sometimes. Mm. But it's also like, I really like being present. And so there's a part of it where it's like, I would rather be present where I'm at and be a little late on something else. But that's also very hard for Joy to acknowledge that I'm late on something. I don't like it. But it's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. What about you?
I would like to karate chop neck pain.
Oh, what kind? Why?
Because I've been in it for like a week now. I did finally get in to see the chiropractor yesterday, so I think it's straightening out now. But I slept wrong or something.
No.
I just had the worst, like, crick in my neck.
Crick.
Which is a funny expression, but that's what I've had. And it has not been fun. And it's one of those where it kind of hurts all the time, but then I'll turn my head, like, just the right way and it does not feel fun. So
surprise, shooting pain.
Yeah. who do you want to be nice to this week?
Okay. So yesterday, had a friend over and decided, well, let's go all out. I love hummus. I don't like red peppers though. Most people feels like they buy red pepper hummus. No thanks. No thanks. Found a recipe on the interwebs for basil pesto.
Ooh.
Hummus. Let me tell you, it's so nice. Make your own hummus, everybody. It's worth it. That is all I have to say. What about you?
Very nice. So I am getting caught up on some TV series and things, which I have hope for that I'll discover some new Be Nice recommendations. In the meantime, for those of you who like my instrumental guitar recommendations, some of you I've introduced to that type of music. Lee McKinney is one of my favorite artists in the genre. His debut solo album that came out a little over a year ago, I believe, is fantastic. His sophomore album just came out this last month. It is called In the Light of Knowledge. It is real good.
What a name.
Yes.
In the Light of Knowledge.
Yes. And it has some really fun stuff. There's some saxophone in there. You know I love a good saxophone solo.
Mickey.
So check out Lee McKinney's In the Light of Knowledge if you're looking for some new music this week. Speaking of music, Joy!
Oh, wait, there's a ukulele playing right now? How did that happen? Okay, hit me with a tag word.
Sheep.
Sheep. Okay. Ba-ba, go the sheep, ba-ba, go the sheep, as they follow Ronald. Oh, it feels wrong calling him Ronald. That feels like Tammy won. Oh, my bad. Taking that back. Woo!
Achievement unlocked. Final boss.
If she's the final boss, that's terrifying.
I know. You're going to want to do all the side quests. You're going to want to have your armor maxed out.
Wow. I feel scared. Hit me with another word.
Tammy won.
No! Why would you do that?
I could not do
it. Don't look around the corner, cause she's there staring at you. Don't look around that corner, Tammy one is scary. Okay, you can just do your thing and stuff. I'm gonna sit here and breathe and stop being scared.
Thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out with us. I know it's been a bit of a Piccadilly circus, but man, we appreciate you.
Points.
Achievement unlocked. Dad joke. Anyways, if you want more of this particular brand of crazy in your life, you can follow us on Instagram at Rewatch Parks. You can join the official Parks and Rewatch fan club. I have to give a shout out to Heather here, who has just been killing it with the content that she's been creating for our social medias, both on Instagram and in the group. So if you're not already on those, you're missing out. You can follow us on Patreon as well, patreon.com/parksandrewatch. And if you sign up at the Pawnee Goddess or Swanson tiers, you get instant access to the Hucking Booths, our after show exclusively for patrons, which you don't want to miss, because we have bonus dives in the Hucking Booths. And one of them for today is just called Who is Colin Firth?
Well, yeah. Because your girl over here is sheltered, so...
So you do not want to miss that.
Unless you're like, Joy, I know already, okay? I know, come on.
But
get your head
really
out of the sand.
Does anyone really? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. If we walked by his house, we might know.
If you're an email type of person, you can send us an email at rewatchparks@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying our show, it means the world to us. If you would leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and a rating on Spotify, too, because that's a thing now.
Apparently. And, well, what do we say?
Bye.
I'm like, what is he gonna do? Is he gonna be fine? Like, okay, bye.